I wrote my last book prior, before Black Salve, was a book entitled Living on the Precipice: Global Corruption, the Supremacy of Fake, and Reflections on Near-Term Human Extinction. I get people asked why I wrote it or how it's relevant to our work here. It was kind of a, it was inspired by the earlier work, The Joys of Psychopathocracy, because it provided further examples, and it was drawn from material that I'd largely written over a roughly 30-year period, you know, more or less, you know, in this period between the late 90s and 2018 itself, so roughly between 1998 and 2000. Excuse me, about a 20-year period. But anyways, it incorporated articles that are written in a small online blog called The Ashwin, as well as material that was in Metatopia. And I wanted to put it together in a way that kind of ran seamlessly, so it kind of supported the contentions that were more theoretical that I brought up in The Joys of Psychopathocracy, that where does all this departure from natural law take us? And it takes us to a place that's highly entropic and highly destructive. And it provided a lot further examples. The book begins, actually, the first three chapters are about issues that kind of point in this, the direction that we are seeing global habitat collapse. A lot of people don't know that all of this talk about immigrants trying to get into the United States from Central America, Mexico, immigrants trying to get into Europe from North Africa and the Middle East, and this is all being positioned in terms of the polemics from the mainstream media as, well, these are about these horrible poor people trying to get into this, you know. And I'm not anti-immigrant. I'm an immigrant myself. My wife and I immigrated to Ecuador, and we so in no shape, matter, or form are we anti-immigrant, but I take issue with the causes of it. I mean, if you actually look at what's underneath it, what we're seeing is habitat collapse. And what do you have when you have habitat collapse? What do you have in a situation where for many generations I and my family were able to cultivate this land and grow crops and feed our animals? We were able to survive, and now we're not able to do that. That's habitat collapse. That's how a species goes extinct. That's what we're seeing. It's not just that these people want a better life. Look, if that were the case, we would have seen caravans of immigrants like we do now 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. But it's never been as bad as it is now. And why is that? Is it because conditions are that much poor in these other areas? Is it just because of gang violence? No. The number one reason why all of these people are wanting to immigrate, besides the fact that people like George Soros actually fund it, quite apart from that, is the fact that if you live on a land and you can't grow things for yourself or for your animals, and you can't find a habitat where you're able to do that or plug into a system that does produce food, that's extinction. That's the road to extinction. That's what we're seeing. So I thought that was really the most important thing. So the first three chapters of Living on the Precipice actually deal with the issue that I thought was the most important one in the book, the fact that we really are looking at short-term human extinction. If we don't see some kind of turnabout, I don't know how that's going to happen. Divine intervention. I offer some possible solutions to how it will happen in the previous book, Joys of Psychopathocracy. But it's very real, and I'm not. You know, I don't want to get stuck in the argument. You know, global warming versus global cooling, and all of the. I think it's far too complicated for the average person to understand. Anyways, rather than arguing about the inputs, about methane hydrates or CO2 levels or any of this, rather than get into that, let's talk about what is really indisputable. Doesn't take, you know, there's going to be no debate about the fact that we're seeing habitat collapse. Hell, back in 1986 when I wrote the Lumen book, my first published book, I talked about the dead zones in the Gulf of Mexico. And even then, even the mid-80s, these were area bodies of water inside the Gulf of Mexico, 50 miles wide, 150 miles deep. For all intents and purposes, other than for a few microbes, there's nothing in those dead zones. They're dead. They're called dead zones for a reason. They're dead. And I can tell you that since the mid-80s, has it gotten any better? No, it has not. What happened with Fukushima? You practically turned the entire Pacific Ocean to a dead zone, or at least it's headed in that direction. It's astonishing, just absolutely astonishing what's happened as a result of Fukushima. The number of people who regularly went back and forth across the Pacific, who are on ships where they can actually see what's going on, and the huge collapse and the number of birds and marine life and all manner of signs of life, you know, whales coming to the surface with huge tumors. I mean, it's just absolute, this poisonous soup that Fukushima has caused. It's just astonishing. So I covered that first, and then from there I get into other areas that support the contention that when you have a civilization that actually nurtures and cultivates and encourages anthropogenic inputs that poison your planet, I can't think of anything more important to discuss, really. Of all the things that you can write as it relates to a nonfiction work, I think this is pretty important. I think it's interesting that John Mack, Dr. John Mack, the guy from the Harvard psychiatrist that wanted to prove that most of these people who say they've been abducted by aliens, well, there's the guy that's screw loose. They're crazy people. And he, after his study, came to the conclusion these people aren't crazy at all. There's nothing crazy about them. I thought was interesting about John Mack's work was how many people reported that in their interactions with the extraterrestrials, a common recurrent question was, why are you destroying your Earth? Why are you destroying where you live? Many of them had reported different experiences. They're not all the same. Many of them are different. But this is a common element. This is a common element. And it's true. I mean, we are completely, it's as if this entire planet has been designated by the powers that be terraformed, kill off all the carbon-based life forms, and let's just make it completely sterile and use it for something else. That's what it looks like to me. And so this book actually lays out, takes 30 chapters to do it, covers a wide variety of topics that I've covered over the last, you know, 20-plus years that supports the contention that, you know, without a change of course, every single one of us who calls himself a human being is sitting on a kamikaze plane. It's increasingly illegal to say, is it really a good idea for us all to commit mass suicide? Is that really a great idea? And God help you if you say anything about what's going on in the cabin. You might get kicked off the plane. It's that nuts. It's really crazy. It's that nuts. And so I wrote this book actually to kind of more clearly vivify, if you will, the insanity out of it all and actually provide further support for the previous work, The Joys of Psychopathocracy, which if people had a choice between the first two books, I'd rather them read Joys of Psychopathocracy first. But this is just more supportive material from things that I have done for almost the entirety of the life of the World Wide Web as a public institution.